know that I believe when the Lord's speaking through him, he speaks to me first and about who I am and where I am and what I'm doing. And he uses that then after he's talked to me about who I am and what I'm doing, he asks me to explain it to you, what he's done in my life and where he's taken me. Because my wife became ill back in July. Shortly after that, we closed the church with her health, and my health was just more than we could handle. So to be here tonight behind the pulpit and speak his word is more of a privilege than you actually can realize. You know, because God is just so awesome to be able to do that. What he's talked to me about tonight for you and for me is change. Change is very, very necessary. And I want you to think about that word change. And I'm going to ask the Lord right now just to bring an anointing upon this and to open our ears. Father God, as we stand before you, Father, as we sit at your feet also, Lord, to be like Mary. Father, to be about you and not be so busy that we can't stop and listen to what you have to say, Lord. We ask you, Father, that you would open our ears, that we'd be able to hear what you have to say, that we'd open our minds, Lord, that we'd be able to understand what you're speaking to each and every one of us. Lord, that you'd open our eyes that we could see you, Lord, and see what you'd have us do. Father, that you'd open our hearts, Father, that we'd be able to retain it, Father, to live in it, and to show it, Father, that we would be like you. Father, I ask you, Lord, here tonight, Lord, that the word spoken tonight be of you, Lord, not of me, not of my flesh, but of you, Lord. And I, Father, I pray that all glory and all praise go unto you, Lord, for you are worthy of all praise and glory. Father, we just thank you. We ask for your spirit to be here tonight, to settle upon us tonight. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Change. What is change? Change is that basically, there's a couple of definitions of change. We make change when we go and we pay for something. We get change back. We change our sheets on our beds. We change our clothes. We change the times U.S. currency into foreign currency. These are all changes, but the change I want to talk to you tonight is when you take something and you change it from one part, from something to something different. As you would take water and freeze it overnight, it becomes ice. As the weather changes from sunny to a cloudy day, these are the type of changes that we need to be experiencing. When we change ourselves from who we were to who we're going to be, it's a process. It's an ongoing thing. It isn't something that just happens overnight. Sometimes we'd like to not change at all. There's things in my life that I really don't want to change, and I'm sure there's things in your life that you held on to and said, I will not change. I remember when I was still in the world, before I come to the Lord, I always said, well, you know, I give up drinking, I give up swearing, I gave up chasing around when I met my wife. I'm not going to give up my freedom. And then the Lord got a hold of me. I don't belong to anybody but him now. These are the changes that we're talking about, that the Lord wants us to talk about. The change from something different to become something different. A little patience with me, because like I say, I'm just kind of a little rusty here from speaking, but I'll get to it. I want you to go to Colossians 3, verse 1, and we're going to go through verse 1 to verse 11. Glasses on, I can tell. It says, if you were raised with Christ, Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Then Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on a new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Samaritan, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. If you were raised with Christ, if you're walking with Christ, and he's talked to us and said that we are to seek the things that are above. Seek those things. Look for those things. Not the things upon the earth, but seek the things that are above. We're to set our minds upon the things of Christ. When you seek the things that are above, you're setting your mind on those things. Too many times we ourselves today are centering our minds on everything else around us, the cares of this world, things that's going on in our life, worries about jobs, worries about family, worries about the health of loved ones. We're not to be worried about those things. We're to be focusing on top of, upon Christ and upon those things that are above. Christ told us not to worry. Then why do we worry? Partly because of the flesh, that's natural for us. We do it all the time. But we're not to do that. We're to set our minds upon those things of Christ. Change. Change. You know, that word change comes in every place we look into one walking with Christ. Every aspect of our life. If we are to stop worrying, we have to change something, don't we? We have to change to what Christ has told us. To think upon him and what he's told us. The things upon this world are only here for what purpose? Some of them here to make us comfortable. Most of them are here to lead us away from the Lord. I look at verse 5 is what really got me when I first read this verse. And it said, put to death. Put to death those members. That's a very strong word, put to death. That means something has to die. That means something in our life has to come to a complete stop. Utterly does not exist anymore. When something dies, it changes to something else, doesn't it? When you bury a seed in the ground, it has to die first before it becomes a plant. It has to germinate, and that basically means it's dying. Everything in the ground that dies becomes something else, whether it becomes fertilizer or whether it becomes another tree. In our lives, Christ is saying, put those members to death that are doing these things. Put it to death. And when you put it to death and you bury this, it has to change. It can't stay the same. And what members are we talking about? You know, because that was the first question I looked at this. God, what do you mean? What members are we talking about? Members of my family? You know, I mean, I think about members as something there. I don't really think about, you know, things in my life as members. But if we look at Romans 6:13, it says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as an instrument of righteousness to God. You see there where it talks about the instrument is the things we do, what we're up to, what we're doing, our body, right? What we let our bodies do, our minds go to. These are the instruments he's talking about. He says, you put it to death, right? And then it says, after it's built, that death, what has come, becomes alive, right? When we die from these things, we become alive. But as long as we hold on to those things, they're still not going to transform to where God wants us to transform to. We're going to stay in one place. We're going to stay anchored there. And this is something I had to look at. I look at my life and I think, okay, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I love the Lord. You know, I was a pastor. I preach. You know, I love the Lord. What do you mean, Lord, I've got to put something to death? What's got to die in my life? Everything in my life that is not holding up the truth of God. Everything that I look at and say, you know what? I think I need that more than I need God. And that could be even food. You know? Could be the air I'm breathing. You know, I could, like I said, my father-in-law says, you need to move off the coast. It's too cold over there for you. Well, if I decided that was because of my health, I need to leave, and God's not telling me, I'm actually, what? Out of God's will, aren't I? You know, I'm doing what I want to do. I let the members of my life, which becomes that member, control me and rule me. But we're to be members of righteousness, instruments of righteousness, to do the things that God has called us to do. How many times do we do that in a day's time? I hate to say it, sometimes not very often, guys. You know, I'm always complaining about something. You know, my wife tells me all the time when I'm driving down the road, how do you know if that person's stupid? You know? Well, look what he did. I don't know. You know, I'm letting myself just do what it wants to do. Let the flesh just run wild instead of doing what God told me to love that person. You know, but I don't want to deal with that person. You know, to be honest with you, it's hard, isn't it? You know, to stop these things that we continuously hold on to, because this is the independence that we've decided. I'm holding on to that. You know, yes, I still love God, but I'm going to hold on to that part of me. And not letting go and letting it die is stopping God from transforming me to where he wants me. To that instrument of righteousness. And I believe that, like I said earlier, the members part is various parts of the body. And I think that represents all aspects of our life. Every aspect of our life is part of the members that we need. We need to put these things to death that are not looking like God anymore. If we picked up something along the way, looks good, tastes good, but smells rotten, it's not of God. Well, we need to let that go. Back in verse 5, you may say, well, I don't really do any of these things. You know, I'm not a fornicator. I'm not, you know, I'm not blaspheming. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing a lot of things. What are you talking about? I've never done any of this stuff. Well, I'd have tend to say that you're calling God a liar. Because all of us have done something. You know, I think that I look back at that movie, Left Behind, that first one, or what, I forget exactly what it was called, but he was witnessing that guy, and he asked him, he says, you ever stole a pack of gum or stole anything? Well, yeah. You ever told a little white lie? Yeah. You ever looked at a little woman the wrong way? Well, yeah. Well, then if you're on the mission, you're a liar, a thief, what was that word? Adulterer. Adulterer, yes, exactly where it's at. Yeah, so it's that little things that we don't recognize that we're doing that needs to come to into the light of God to be changed. Some time ago when I was driving an interstate truck, I had a lot of experiences out on the road, but you know, there was a couple of them that the Lord reminded me of this when I was writing this up, and some of you may have heard these a couple of these stories, but I was very seldom did I ever get to the same truck stop on a Sunday morning. I mean, like, never, but one time. You know, back to back. 1 week, and then the next week I was there again. I may have got there, say, in December, and then again in February, but I never was back to back except one time in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I pulled into the truck stop the first time, had a great service. And the very next Sunday, I was right back there again. I'm going, okay, God, what do you want to tell me? You start looking at when things are happening around you that God's trying to speak to you about something. So you start looking and you start listening, all right? And you start asking, God, what are you trying to tell me? What's going on here? At that time, I was doing a lot of evangelizing on the road. I was singing specials out on the road. I was doing all kinds of things the Lord had me do. And this morning, I was sitting there inside the chapel, and it was always in the part of the truck stop where they had other things going on. And I kept looking around and thinking and asking God, and all of a sudden, he drew my attention to a round book holder. It was about this high, where it could hold hundreds of books. And just to show you how God is and how he has to deal with me, there was one book on that turnstile. So I couldn't miss it. Like, Jim, here it is. I want you to see this one book. This one book had a bunch of penguins on the cover of it, except one penguin had a big hat, flowery shirt, Bermuda shorts, and sandals on. And the caption was, "Are you trying to convince everybody that you're the same?" And I thought, Lord, what's that about? He led me to these scriptures that we're in here today. And he said, I want you to share this morning. And I'm thinking, well, this is going to take quite a chore, because I know the pastor here. He's a Baptist pastor that, I've talked to him before, and I asked if I had to share, and he said, absolutely not. I will not release the pulpit, period. And I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to do something, because, it's in your hands. If you want me to share this, then you have to open the door. They came in, opened with prayer. We sang some songs. There was devotionals going on, a little bit of here, a little bit of there, just small ones. The pastor got up behind the pulpit. He opened up the Bible. And he stopped. And he looked at me and pointed. He says, God says you've got something to say. And I said, yes, I do. And I read this chapter to him. And I said, God says we have to change. We're trying to convince the world we're the same as them. We are not the same as they are. We are different. We must start acting like we're different. We cannot continue on going to our jobs and acting the same as they do and then trying to tell them, God loves you. It doesn't work. They don't believe us. But you say, but it's too hard. Yes, it is hard. Very hard. Very hard. And I'll just, before I continue the next one I'm trying to say here, the pastor just started in tears, and he says, you don't know why I'm crying up here. That's exactly the same verses God told me to use here today. That he was speaking the same thing to him. He spoke to me. I confirmed it for him. This is the thing we have to do. And not only just, I'm not telling just each one of you, because I don't know your lives. But he's talking to me. I have to change. I thought personally I'm doing fairly good. Yeah, I get angry once in a while, I say some stupid things. I think like all of us. But God is telling me that's not good enough. You have to change. Start changing. I was at a job. Now, jobs are very hard at times, and I had a man there at one of the jobs I was at, and he irritated me to no end. And I didn't come from a passive family or a passive life. I came from a very violent life. And for me to back down was a sign of weakness at any time. So this guy tried to pass me on the road, and I wouldn't let him around me. And I just kind of laughed about it. The Lord decided to deal with me over it. So he's talking to me about it, and I said to the Lord that night, and I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but kind of challenged the Lord a little bit. I said, well, Lord, if you want me to apologize to him, then you're going to have to open up the door. That very next morning, I walked into the 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work, grabbed hold of the door handle to walk in. The door opened, and here's that very man standing right before me. Whoops, I guess you want me to talk to him, Lord. And I had apologized to him in front of a whole bunch of men. And I had men afterwards ask me why I did something like that. That they didn't like him either. I said, nothing to do with that. It's because God is changing my life. He told me I have to be different. Well, the Lord didn't just stop there. Later on that day, the man broke down. Who did the Lord send to help? Me. Not only there, but I mean, the man, I had to follow the man's truck all the way back up where the guy was pumping out raw fuel out of the stack. And I don't know if you're ever behind a diesel one is blowing raw fuel, you know, blowing white smoke. It's pretty bad. You know, all the way from Laytonville to Eureka. And I'd be on the radio and telling people it's not his fault. You know. See, God will bring us to a place of change if you want to go there. You know, and usually God has to take me there, you know, before I'll listen. But change. Change. He said that the day that we are to change is now. Change now, not later. You know, I've had, just to kind of show you where God takes us. Later on, and when we lived in Wairika, I had my own business. And we worked all Saturday and all Sunday. I wanted to put a big cross on the front of my truck that lit up so everybody knew I was a Christian. Everybody knew I walked with the Lord. So at night, you know, I could turn that light on. Everybody could see it coming down the road. I was supposed to be in L.A. on Monday morning, and late Sunday evening, we finally got it done. And I took off. Going down the road, I got noticing something flash out of the side of my eyes. Going, what's that? Got watching, and every time I hit a bump in the road, I'd see a flash, and I realized that the cross was blinking. So I shut it off. Sure enough, you know, it quit. I turned back on, started again. So I turned it off, and this morning I got up and opened the hood, looked up, yep, got up, just needs a better ground on it. Didn't do anything to fix it now, just found out it needed a better ground. Later that night, I turned it back on, thought it would heal itself. It started doing the same thing. And the Lord spoke to me and asked me, you know what the problem is? I said, yeah, it's not grounded. He said, that cross represents your walk with me. Every time you hit a bump in the road, you want to turn me off. Because I wasn't willing to change. I wasn't willing to take and let God transform me to who he wanted me to be. I wanted to be myself and still walk with God. As a man, it's hard to change to where God wants you sometimes. And I'm sure for ladies, it's the same thing. You know? Now God used Colossians 1 verses 21 through 23. I only give part of it up there, I think. Maybe I give all. It says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a minister. See, even God was saying through that, we must stay grounded, right? As that cross wasn't grounded and it was blinking, as the same thing with me, because I wasn't staying grounded, I was blinking. I wasn't letting God change me. I wasn't letting God come into my life and turn the things around that needed to be turned around. I let God say, okay, God, you just do what you want to do, but stop there. That's it. I don't want to go no further. Now, did I say that voicefully to him? Absolutely not. No. But by my actions, that was what I was telling God, I don't want to change. I only want part of it. I don't want all of it. I only want part. We have to let God come in and do what he wants to do in our lives. All the time. Not just once in a while. All the time. You know? People ask how me and Linda are dealing with our health. Dealing with it just fine. You know? We're letting God be God. Yeah, we understand there's problems. know, and we appreciate the prayers. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, trust in him. What he wants is what's going to happen. No matter what it is, it's up to him. Do I understand it? Absolutely not. If I understood all of it, I'd probably be at home with him right now. Well, then I would have full understanding. But until then, I won't. I'm only going to see part of it. I won't see all of it. But changing is hard because the flesh does not want it, people. Our body does not want to change. Our flesh does not want to change. We're happy. You know? Even though we're miserable, our flesh is happy. I don't know if that makes sense to be both, but the flesh is happy when it's miserable because it thinks it's got what it wants. You know? Yesterday I made a bunch of cookies. No, I'm not a real good cook, but you know, I try hard. I don't know why she can't do all, but I get up and I made a good stab at them. I made some good cookies. They were good enough, and she's not supposed to have a whole bunch of sweets, but you know, she said she was weak, so she had a few more than she was supposed to have. You know, and then when she checked her blood, of course, it was out of sight, man, on the sugar part. That's the flesh, wasn't it? We know better, but the flesh is weak, and it wants to have what it wants. It wants to have what it wants. We're to take off, if you look at verse 8 and 9, where it says, to take off the old man and put on the new. Now, I was thinking tonight how I could demonstrate that, and I was going to do that, but I think Jeremiah, I'm going to have him do this. Jeremiah, why don't you stand up and grab your coat right there. Put one arm in. I don't want to use your coat for a second here. Don't, just one arm. Just one arm. Let me use your jacket here for a minute. I want to show you that. This is usually what we try to do. Here's the old man. Now we're going to put the new man on. Put your arm in that one. Now how are you going to walk around with the old man and new man on? And get them both on, you can't. It's that something's hanging somewhere. It's not going to fit. You're not going to be able to zip it up. You're not going to stay warm. You know? Oh, yeah, now Jeremiah's going to show me otherwise. But see, that's what I'm saying. We all walk around like that, people. Now, we walk around with part of the old on and part of the new on. That isn't what God told us. He says, take it off. Throw it down. It's dead and stinking. It doesn't exist anymore. Bury it. Get rid of it. Put the new man on. Until we do that, we can't do the rest of what God told us to do in the Colossians here. Until we take that old man completely off, there's no way possible we can do what God has told us to do. If we carry part of it with us, it's still going to be with us. And that's what I deal with myself. Even though I think I was, you know, doing real well, I'm not, because I still got part of the old man I'm hanging on to. Now, he wants to resurrect himself all the time. My wife tells me every once in a while, you know, I let my hair grow again, my beard grow back out. You're starting to look like the old Jim. Well, looks are deceiving. Okay? But if I let that old Jim come all the way back in, he will take over. We can't let that happen. We have to take it, put it out. We have to let it go. We've got to bury it, you know, to where it doesn't exist anymore. And, you know, and we're all going to go through this. And I'm sure that in the relationships, my wife has said to me several times, well, that's a real godly man. You know? Because of my attitude, I get a little angry, I get a little bullheaded. You know? And I'm sure that, you know, your wives or maybe your husbands have said this to each other several times. Maybe never. If you have never said it, that's great. You know, you're one step ahead of the game than I am. I've had people at work, all right? Look at me and go, you're supposed to be a Christian? You know? That hurts and it's hard to deal with. I don't know how many of you watch TV or stuff going on, you know, but we do a lot of that anymore. You know, but this survivor thing that's going on there. I watched this one man on there, keeps his name, it's called Coach. You know, he runs about, oh, I'm a Christian man, we're praying and everything else, and yet he's lying through his teeth. And people on there say, you know, I don't understand how he can take a lie to a person and then ask for prayer. You know, whether he's convinced he's a real Christian or not, I can't tell you, okay? But what I'm saying is that part of that is not buried and gone, is rising up when we least expect it, and people notice. People notice. If we take and change into the new man, like God has told us to, then we can go to Colossians 3:12 and through 17. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. See, we can't do that if the old man's still there, because the old man doesn't want to put on tender mercies. He wants to be who he is. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and knowledge, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If the old man is still there, how many of these things is going to happen? Now, there's some people out there that have kindness. And I'm sure that you know them, you know, that don't walk with the Lord. And they give charitable all the time. But do they do all of it? And that's what we're supposed to be about, doing all of this. And we can't do all of this if the old man's still there. Not only that, I don't think you can even finish the rest of chapter 3 and part of chapter 4. If you read it, this is how, what we're supposed to be like. You know, the next part of it is submitting to one another. We can't do that. You know, the old man is not going to submit to anybody. You know, you just keep looking at read the rest of the way through that as what God has called us to be. Until we take the old man off, we can't complete all that. That's tough. Very, very tough. We're going to fall short of the glory of God. Now, I've heard a story many times ago. Probably all of you heard the same thing. How many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? It takes one. But the light bulb's going to want to have to change. You know? That's us too, guys. We're going to have to want to change. God can change us. But we're going to have to want to. You know? It only takes God to do it. We can't do it ourselves. I know I can't. I've tried. You know, I tried doing things myself, and I always mess it all up every single time. But when God's in the midst, it doesn't seem to get messed up. Amazing, isn't it? Most of the time, what we want, instead of us changing, is we want God to change. Yeah, we do. But in Malachi 3:6, it says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Whoops. But if you don't change God, then that means I gotta, to be honest, I don't want to, you know. But if I want God to fulfill my life, I gotta be on that road continuously for change. I just really liked it when I seen the signs back in the southern part of the country through Texas and Alabama, and you know, they had these big black billboard signs with big white letters. Says, what part thou shalt not do you not understand? Well, wow, I like that. I mean, you know, that really rang true with me. Yeah, I wonder what part of it I don't understand. Because, you know, to be honest with you, I really wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. I thought I was, but there are times I didn't, because the flesh was rearing up and I didn't want it to stop. Change is part of our life and has been from the beginning. And we have help if we're willing to let God help us. If we go to Genesis, and that's the last verse I'm going to go to. Genesis 1:1-4. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he divided the light from darkness. I'm not here to debate, all right, with you about these verses. I mean, I know it's talking about creation, but I want to point this in a spiritual matter to you and me. Because, you know, I was without form. I was void, and I had darkness in me when God found me, when I come to him. And that Spirit of God has been hovering over me to change me to where he wants from then on. He's there to doing the same thing for you. He's there to hover over you, to take you out of that chaos that we lived in the flesh, into his spirit, into his way, into his beauty of creation, if we don't fight it. But we want to fight it. We want to stay that way. And it isn't we mentally or spiritually we want to stay that way. It's the flesh that fights with us and deals with us on a different matter, that we have this lack of strength at times to overcome because we're trying to do it ourselves. Instead of letting the Spirit of God change us each time when he says, don't do that, do this instead, we should listen instead of say, no, I'm going to do that. I don't want to do that. But if we let God do that, you notice what it says? He divided the light from the dark. Right? Think about that in your own life. Think about that part. I mean, I know this, we're talking about creation here, but I think we can apply that to what God is doing in each and every one of us. Because I was told when I come to him, I'm a new creation. Right? The old man is dead, right? And a new spiritual man is alive. So if that's the case, that says the same thing to me as in the beginning when God created the world and heavens. He's doing the same thing in me. He's new creation. He is changing me. He is breathing life into me. That's where we need to be, is let the Holy Spirit do what he's supposed to be doing. Quit fighting him. Now, I fight him. I'll be honest, I fight him all the time, and I don't want to. Well, it isn't because I plan on doing it. That's just part of me, guys. And I know we all do the same thing in some aspects of our life. Some of us are further down the road than others. And some of us have conquered things that the other ones are still fighting to get through. That's because we're all different. You know, every one of us is different. My wife has overcome things into different things and that I still haven't been able to do, and yet I've done the same thing. I've overcome things that she hasn't been able to overcome because we're different. God deals with each and every one of us in a different way and at a different time. If he changed every one of us at the exact same time, then we all should be a good progress, and we all know exactly what that person still got to go through because he's still waiting on me. You know? But he doesn't do that because we are, you know, all of are different. Created in his image, but we're all different. Each and every one of us. So instead of looking at your partner or friends or saying, well, I wish he'd get it. And look at ourselves saying, well, I wish I'd get it. You know? I wish I'd get it. Change is so important. And if there's no change, I have to ask if God's even at work in us. And if God's not working us, I have to ask if God's even with us. That's something you have to ask yourself, you know? Because there are times, man, I know to myself, I got, God, are you still here? You know? But I don't hear him. I don't feel him. I feel like I'm out in the middle of the desert someplace. But I know he said he will never leave me nor forsake me. You know? And I know at the same time, I worry, you know, and I've been looking and in the scriptures, and Carrie may be able to help me out with that. But you know, if I keep telling God no, how long will he keep persisting? You know, I haven't found that answer, so that tends to tell me that hopefully he's going to do that, because be persistent. You know, that's what I'm praying for, that God, don't give up on me. You know, I may be bullheaded, but don't give up on me, God. You know. Don't give up on us. And we all have places to go, things to do, but change is very necessary. That person that we were has to dead and buried, all of it. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to change overnight, but don't fight it. Let God change us. Let Him change us. Now, I don't know if you're going through changes right now and need prayer. I'm here to pray for you tonight. If you don't know the Lord, here tonight is the time and opportunity to come to Him. Because today is the day of salvation. Change takes time. Might as well get started early. And if you're late, it's better late than never. If you got something going on in your life and you need prayer, I'll pray for you here tonight. Don't just sit there and say, God, I'm doing fine. I've done that too many times. If God's prompting you to come up forward tonight, I'm sure that Pastor Kerry will come up along with me here and we will pray over you. Any aspects of whether you need healings, whether it's financial, or about jobs, if you even need change in your life, and you know there's something in your life that needs to be changed, we'll pray for that. That's what we're here for. Everybody here tonight.